Asian capital city of the Philippines, Manila. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM, the very largest program of its sort in the nighttime across the U.S., Canada, or any other land on the face of the globe. Hi, everybody. I'm Art Bell, the original creator of all this, I guess. And it is an amazing thing, I tell you, that I am here right now. Absolutely astounding, actually, that I'm here at all right now, because I've got a little bit of a story to tell you. We went through one hell of a typhoon. We still do not have electrical power here in, I believe, the majority of Manila. There are spots that are beginning to get it, but we have been without power here now for 4 days. 4 days ago, I had seen it coming for about 2 days. I had seen this crazy thing coming. There's a website up there called PARA, P-A-R-A, which is the Philippine Amateur Radio Association website, and they had a pretty good take on what was going on with this typhoon. And I saw it begin to turn. First, it was going northwest. Then it began going west-northwest. Then it turned finally at the last last few hours, into a westerly direction. This thing had winds of about 160 kilometers per hour, and it came right over Manila. Now, we woke up that morning, and I'm telling you, it was sheer terror. Now, these 160-kilometer winds were at the ground. Bear in mind, we're on the 19th floor of a condominium building. When that puts us about 190 feet, 180, 90 feet in the air, something like that. Almost 200 feet in the air. And so let me tell you, it was some terrifying experience, to be sure. The windows, and they're really extra thick windows that we have here in this condominium, really thick with the big hard closers, you know, that kind of deal. You could put your hand on the window and you could feel the window. It was almost like a horror movie. Have you ever seen those horror movies where the door or the window is bowing in? You know, actually, you can see it bulging in. That's what was happening to our windows. And we could look out, dangerous as it was, we could look out the windows and we could see other windows breaking in adjacent condominiums and or falling out completely. There was a fair amount of damage to our building. I think the first floor flooded. We lost a lot of windows and some facade at the beginning of the building. And, of course, almost all the trees are down. So in order to walk outside, you're just walking over downed trees and God knows what else. Manila really got hit hard. Manila really, really got hit hard. So we still do not have electrical power. And the way I'm operating is we have a backup generator in this building, and it supplies a little bit of power so that you get a little bit of power for some things. Like, for example, one air conditioner is allowed to be run in the master bedroom. And a couple of power outlets are active and that kind of thing. So I sort of jerry-rigged the ability to get power in here to power up my computers and the equipment that I would use to get on the air. And that's how I'm on the air right now. It's all running on backup generator. Now, somehow or another, magically, we still have, although it comes and goes, we have internet and we have some television. So we're able to see what's going on around the city. And that would not be most people are totally in the dark. Without the ability to cook unless they have gas. And it's been 4 days now, and this is a major capital city, or the major capital city, of course, of the Philippine Islands. And they're out there, Meralco, our power company's out there, doing the very best they can. But, I mean, big, the big 25, 50, 100,000-volt lines, those came down. You know, been into twisted masses of metal. It was just really, it's a wreck out there. And they've actually declared a state of calamity is what we have here, a state of calamity. So here I am. If we're able to get the correct photograph up, And I think we will be able to eventually. I'm unable to get it here, and I checked with the guys back in California just prior to the program, and they're not really getting it either. But I think Lex and everybody back at the website is working on getting that picture to refresh. If it does, what you're going to get, instead of a picture of Aaron and myself, is a picture of Abby Dose. Now, Abby Dose, of course, the cats totally went berserk during the typhoon. I mean, this was scary. No, this was actually terrifying, would be a more appropriate word. Terrifying. My God, it was terrifying. So it was terrifying for the cats, too. Abby ran to the back of the condo and ran. We have a little door, a swinging door that we installed. And we have a maid's quarters back there. We don't have a maid, but we have a maid's quarters. And there's a little comfort room, otherwise known as a bathroom in the United States, for the maid to use. And we don't use it. So Abby ran back there and jumped into his typhoon shelter, which was, in this case, the maid's sink. So that's where Abby spent his typhoon time, in the maid's sink. Now, it was dead dark in there, so I thought it was so funny. I went back looking for any humor, got my camera, and took a flash picture, but it was dead dark back there. And you can see Abby, Abby Dose, curled up in his little typhoon shelter there, if that picture will refresh for you. All right. That's it. So we've had a typhoon. We are now into our fourth day without power. The sun has come out now in Manila on this fourth day, and so it's hotter than hell out there. We walk down the street. We have a pancake house here, and we walked down the street prior to the program this day and thought, well, we'll grab some breakfast. Well, they have no power down there at the pancake house, and let me tell you, baby, it's hot out there. You know, it's the way it is when a storm ends, the sun comes out, it's very humid, and they had no power at all in the pancake house, and those poor people back in the kitchen, my God. Actually, as we left, they said, that's it, we're closing, even we can't stand it. And the Filipino people are pretty tough when it comes to heat. But they said, no, we've had enough, we're closing up, you're the last customer, see you later. And that was it. We ran back here, and I knew I had the show to do, and so forth and so on. And so they've just closed their doors. Everybody's waiting, hoping, praying for power to be restored. I imagine that will occur shortly. We will do open lines coming up early this hour. So if you want to get a head start on that and begin calling right now, you're certainly more than welcome to. In a moment, I'll take a look at the world situation and a bit more. Anyway, I thought you didn't. Oh, one more thing. I did for the hams out there last week, just one day before the typhoon, went to this organization known as PARA, P-A-R-A, Philippine Amateur Radio Association, and applied for my reciprocal permit to operate here in the Philippines. Oh, my God, I'm glad I didn't have an antenna up. Not that I have been given permission to put one up or anything. I thought I'd wait until I received the license, but that's well underway. So I will have my Philippine operation license here shortly. Took them all the appropriate paperwork. Everything is done with a lot of paperwork here in the Philippines. And then the next day, the typhoon struck. That was, I guess I would say that was the most terrifying thing I've ever been through. As you know, my wife is from here, and she said it was the most terrifying one she's ever been through. And if you were to look around Manila right now, last I heard there were 23 dead. Which is a fairly small death toll when you consider the size of this typhoon. So there you have it. I've heard, by the way, there is another typhoon out in the Pacific churning around right now, and for some reason they think it might head our way. So we have that to look forward to as well. So there you have it. Manila totally clobbered by a typhoon. When we get back, we'll look at the rest of the world. Lex or Sean, if you're listening out there, I'm still not getting any refresh that shows the new webcam photograph. Too bad. It's really cute. That's where Abby Dose chose to stay throughout the typhoon. God, what a terrifying experience it really was. And then one other item. I mentioned this last week, and I'm going to mention it again now because it's very, very important to me. A number of years ago, somebody wrote, the FBI believes it was written at the University of California at San Diego, some letter slamming the Philippine people on my behalf. They signed my name to it. Of course, I would never write such thing, but somebody anonymously walked into the library at the University of California at San Diego and wrote this letter, putting my name to it, slamming the Philippine people. And now that I'm here in the Philippines, of course, they have decided to recirculate this letter, making life rather dangerous for me here, and I'm getting a lot of death threats. So once again, I have had them post this hoax alert, and I would appreciate it if you'd take a look-see at that, but I'm getting a lot of death threats, and it's a little scary because over here, that sort of thing, well, that sort of thing is just kind of dangerous, we'll put it that way. Baghdad shut down on suspicion of attack. U.S. military said the captured al-Qaeda suspect and members of his cell were in the final stages of planning an attack on the Green Zone. What's the Green Zone? It's supposed to be a safe area. An unprecedented curfew prompted by the arrest left millions of Baghdadis stranded at home on Saturday without any supplies during the Islamic holy month of Ramadan. The U.S. military said the suspected al-Qaeda in Iraq member was arrested late Friday at the home of the senior Sunni Arab political leader there, where he was working as a personal bodyguard. Representative Thomas Reynolds, head of the House Republican election effort, said Saturday that he told Speaker Dennis Hastert months ago about concerns that a fellow GOP lawmaker had sent inappropriate messages to a teenage boy. Hastert's office said aides referred the matter to the proper authorities last fall, but they were only told the messages were, quote, over-friendly, end quote. Reynolds, a Republican from New York, was told about emails sent by Representative Foley and is now defending himself from Democratic accusations that he did too little. Foley, a Republican from Florida, resigned Friday after ABC News questioned him about the emails to a former congressional page and about sexually suggestive instant messages to other pages. Israeli military officials said the army withdrew the last of its troops from Lebanon early Sunday, fulfilling a key condition of the ceasefire that ended a month-long war with Hezbollah guerrillas. Pullout ended a nearly three-month troop presence and now clears the way for the UN to come in and make what peace or keep what peace they can. Military helicopters lowered a rescue team by rope Saturday into the remote Amazon jungle site where an airliner slammed into the ground. Authorities, though, held out little hope of finding anybody alive among the 155 on board. It's 155 people. Team began clearing dense vegetation near the wreckage site so a helicopter could land. In a mountain meadow not very far from where she was shot by a gunman who invaded her school, those who knew Emily Keyes and many who did not came together on a bright, breezy fall Saturday to remember the teen and hear a message of forgiveness and hope. Family friend Luis Gonzalez asked mourners to embrace Emily's last words to her family, a text message that said, "I love you guys," sent to her father, who was standing in view of the school as she was held hostage. An overpass near Montreal collapsed Saturday, crushing two cars whose occupants were feared dead. At least five other people injured there. A previously unseen video made by Mohammed Atta, ringleader of the September 11th attacks on the United States, has been obtained by Britain's The Sunday Times. The newspaper reported Saturday in editions available late Saturdays that it had been handed the so-called martyrdom video, but did not reveal the source of the tape. Researchers at NASA are saying Earth's temperature, get this now, folks, has reached levels not seen in thousands of years, and this phenomena has begun to affect its inhabitants. That would be both plants and us animals. Reporting in Tuesday's issue of Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, prestigious, right? The researchers, led by James Hansen of NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies in New York, said Earth has been warming at a rate of 0.36 degrees Fahrenheit a decade for the last 30 years. And this has brought the overall temperature to the highest point since the end of the last ice age 12,000 years ago. They said the warming is higher in the far north than elsewhere, as melting ice tended to expose the darker land and rocks beneath the snow cover, which in turn has begun absorbing more heat from the sun, more on the land than water. Water has higher capacity to hold heat than land, and changes temperatures slower than land. The researchers found the warming has been significant in the Indian and Western Pacific Oceans, which have major impact on climate change. They're concerned that any warming there could lead to more El Nino episodes. Hansen said in a statement, "The evidence is indication that Earth is getting close to dangerous levels of human-made pollution." He said human-made greenhouse gases have become the dominant climate change factor. He added, quote, "If further global warming reaches 2 or 3 degrees Celsius, we're going to likely see changes that make Earth a very different planet than the one we know now. The last time it was warm was in the middle, well, about 3 million years ago, actually, when sea level was estimated to have been about 25 meters higher than today. Imagine that now. No New Orleans, that's for sure. The researchers say, although warming is most noticeable at the poles, higher latitudes are still among the coolest spots around. For animals and plants that can survive only within certain temperature ranges, these will be the only places to go as their current home, or homes, I guess plural, will become intolerably warm. In a study done in 2003, it has been brought out that nearly 1,700 plant and animal species had moved toward the poles, or about 4 miles per decade in the last 50 years. And this from Great Britain. The Ministry of Defense went to extraordinary lengths, apparently, to cover up its true involvement in investigating UFOs, according to secret documents revealed under the Freedom of Information Act. The files show that officials attempted to expunge information from documents released to the Public Records Office under the, quote, 30-year rule, end quote, that would have revealed the extent of the MOD's interest in UFO sightings. In particular, the ministry wanted to cover up the operation of a secret unit dedicated, mind you, to UFO investigations within the Defense Intelligence Staff. UFO conspiracy theorists have linked the unit called D-155 to a sort of Men in Black agency for defending the Earth against invasion, but the released documents show this is far from the truth. One 1995 memo from D-155 to the MOD's public UFO desk said, quote, "I have several books at home that describe our supposed role of defender of the Earth against alien menace. It is light years from the truth." The files were made public following FOI, Freedom of Information request, by David Clark, a lecturer in journalism at Sheffield Hallam University, and his colleague Andy Roberts. Quote, "These documents don't tell us anything about UFOs, but they do show how desperate the MOD has been to conceal the interest with which the intelligence services had in the subject." The trail begins with a request in 76 from a UFO enthusiast called Julian Hennessy for access to the MOD's records on UFO sightings. A note from the UFO desk to the MOD's head of security on March 23rd shows that officials intended to refuse him access, all on the grounds that the files contain confidential information and it would be, quote, of very little value to a serious scientific investigator, end quote. But the note continues, "This is not to say that the investigation is not taken seriously. Branches have their own methods, and the public UFO desk has no need to know about them. But we are aware that D-155, for example, sometimes makes extensive inquiries." So there you have it. Again, more from Great Britain than we get from our own country. All right, listen, I would love to get emails from you. Obviously, I cannot answer every email I get, but I'm making the very best attempt I can to answer as many as I can. If you would like to email me, I am Art Bell, that's ARTBELL at AOL.com, or perhaps better yet, ArtBell at Mindspring.com. That's ARTBELL, all lowercase, just simple, Art, ARTBELL, at Mindspring.com. And I depend on many of you for relevant information, stories that would be of interest to the entire listening audience, stories that I think are appropriate for this program, which is not so much the regular news, but the abnormal news, if you will. So there you have it. I would love to hear from any of you who feel you have anything earth-shaking or even semi-earth-shaking that the audience would like to hear. In a moment, we're going to go to open lines, anything you would like to talk about for the next half hour, and then we're going to delve into the world of consciousness. There is so very much to talk about in that world. From Manila, ravaged by a typhoon in the Philippines, I'm Art Bell. Indeed so. From actually devastated Manila, Philippines. Man, I am telling you, this typhoon just ripped through here. I bet that our windows, and we have very, very strong windows here, but I'll bet that those windows were bowing in about an inch. You can actually feel them. It was like a horror movie. They were moving in so far. It was just amazing. My God, that was a strong typhoon. In the last, I don't know, a few hours, it took a jog to the west, which put it basically right over Manila. And again, we're into our fourth day now without power. They tell us that just about any day now we may get power. And once more, I would like to make the simple request that as many of you as possible go to the Coast to Coast AM website. By the way, I'm told that about, I don't know, half of you are getting the picture of Abby Doe sitting in the sink, and the other half are not. I'm told in by those in charge of the website back there, it depends on whether you're shuffled off to a proxy server or not, whatever that means. So some of you are getting the correct photograph, others not. I imagine that'll slowly straighten out as the servers straighten out. And then just one additional thing, again, this is becoming a very, very dangerous situation for us over here because of that damn Filipino bogus letter that was sent out years ago and has now been sent recirculating again, causing me to get, and my wife to get, a lot of death threats. So since we are here in the Philippines, it's particularly dangerous because obviously there's not as much exposure to the truth over here, even though, believe it or not, the Philippine Inquirer, a newspaper, the major newspaper here in Manila, actually went ahead and published that letter without ever checking out whether it was true or not, then retracted it for about a week. But with it circulating once again, people don't realize it's old and wrong and bogus, and that's the way it is. And so, obviously, it makes it dangerous for us here. So if you could send out to as many of your friends, particularly Filipino friends, as you know, the fact that it's not true, hasn't been true for years, isn't true now, wasn't true then, we would certainly appreciate it. In a moment, we move to all of you. That is to say, open lines. Larry in Eugene, Oregon says, "Hey, Art, glad to hear you're okay. Could you feel your building swaying, moving during the typhoon? Was curious since you're on the 19th floor." Answer, yes. Oh, yes. You could feel the building moving. The pressure was astoundingly large. The pressure of the wind was just unbelievable. A couple of times, the windows blew open. The vibration... You know, trying to put this into words for you is almost impossible how severe it was. I imagine we were getting 200 kilometer per hour winds here on the 19th floor easily. And the vibration was so much that occasionally one of the windows would pop open and it would take the both of us to close it. Now, Aaron, being a native Filipino, was... prior to this typhoon, was very casual about it. I kept saying, "Hun, this typhoon is turning more toward us." She said, "I've been through so many of them. Don't worry about it. We're used to them here." Well, she has a whole different attitude now. I mean, she was absolutely terrified, as was I. This was really something. All right, let's go to the phones and see what awaits. East of the Rockies, you are on the air. Hello.
Say East of the Rockies?
Yes, I did.
Awesome. How you doing, Art?
Well, I'm all right. As I mentioned, we're into our fourth day with no power here, but otherwise.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to call and tell you that I'm so glad that you're all right. George was worrying us last night, saying that they couldn't get a hold of you, and you know, I was a little worried about you. But good to hear that you're all right.
Well, thank you. Yeah, lines are down everywhere. Big steel structures, you know, not the little ones, but the big steel power structures that hold the lines. They're down, and they look like, you know, just a mess. So that gives you some idea what it's like here.
Yeah.
When we walk to a restaurant or something, we have to step over down trees, so it's pretty serious.
Wild. Well, I'm calling from Oklahoma, and we have some bad storms, but usually nothing that bad. So,
well, you have tornadoes. It's always something somewhere, right?
Yeah, you guys get a little bit of warning. We don't get much warning, so that's kind of the trade-off, I guess.
I guess.
All right.
All right. Thanks very much for the call, and take care. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Hello.
Was that west of the Rockies?
Yes.
Oh, this is Chuck in Port Moody, British Columbia.
Hi, and Chuck.
Congratulations on us surviving, you and your wife, that terrible storm.
Beats the alternative.
I was in the Army during the war and was in the typhoon on the way to Manila in 1945.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what a typhoon's like because the ship was not very shipworthy.
Boy, I would. That's the last place I'd want to be is out on the ocean. I can't even imagine going through a typhoon in a ship, even a big one.
Anyway, I want to wish you the best wishes to you and your wife and tell her ini ibikita for me.
Okay, buddy. Thank you very much, and take care. We'll go to, I think, the first-time caller line, and John in New York someplace or another. Hi, John.
How you doing? I'm glad you and your wife are safe and secure. I just have a question for you. How far are you inland, and you have to worry about storm surge, and even though you're 19 stories up, but storm surge and flooding?
Manila Bay. I can look out the window here, and I can see Manila Bay from here. But it's quite a ways away, and it would have to cross a lot of land and a lot of city before it would get to me. So
okay.
I'm not saying it couldn't, but I think we're okay in that regard.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And anything, you know, I understand that a lot of Americans don't really understand exactly what our situation is here. And under normal circumstances, you know, I'm totally open with my audience, and so I would not hesitate to actually describe precisely where we are with reference to everything in Manila. Under the current threatening circumstances, I think I'll let that one go. But make that the wild card line. You're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Glad to hear that you and your wife are safe.
Thank you.
Over the years, I've been listening for years, and over the years, you've turned me on to so many great things, whether it be the subjects that you talk about or television shows like Dead Like Me. And the music that you listen to, you've turned me on to Lee Hazelwood and Nancy Sinatra and even Johnny Cash, which I said I'd never listen to country. Anyway, I thought I might be able to return the favor. And you were talking about Enya the other day and played a little bit. There's a band called Clannad, C-L-A-N-N-A-D, and they did an album called Lore, and L-O-R-E, and they did a song called like Trail of Tears. It has a Native American historical significance. I'm not really sure of it, but there's a story behind it. But the real reason I called is there is a gentleman by the name of Chris Rea, and he's relatively popular in Europe. He's done many albums, but he's right up your alley. He's a slide guitar player, blues singer, and deep voice like Lee Hazelwood.
And all right, well, you need say no more. I will absolutely check it out, and if it's appropriate, we'll give it a shot.
The album is called The Road to Hell.
The Road to Hell. All right.
Very trippy music, and it will be a surprise. For instance, he does a song called You Must Be Evil. Well, he's talking about the news stations because they're playing they're playing news that isn't fit for children, and his daughter is sitting crying on the floor.
Listen, buddy, that's a fact. The news is not fit. Heck, a lot of it's not fit for adults. It's not good news. What's going on in the world right now is not good. We're obviously more than not, and there are exceptions, of course, to this, but more than not, we're not on the right track. Humanity is not on the right track, and we're still kind of a warrior species, inclined to be more warrior-like than not, and I don't think that bodes well for a very long-term existence for all of us. On the international line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Hello. It's Nena. Us here, tall and Nena from British Columbia.
How you doing? Now, this young lady... came to visit us here in Manila. As a matter of fact, she just made it out of here before the typhoon. I think she flew on Sunday out of Manila, right?
Yes. You know, I was really lucky. My God. You know, I have been phoning my kids, and it seems I can't get hold of them. But we're glad you're okay. Tom was saying, say hi to Art. My God, we're so worried, you know.
Well, we're okay. You probably cannot get through because obviously most of the phone lines here are down on the ground.
Yeah. Oh, it's scary when you're on the 19th floor of the building. I can't imagine your building, my God.
Well, you can because you were here.
Of course. How is Yeti?
Both Abydos and Yeti are fine. I don't know whether you can get the photograph or not, but that's where Abydos spent his typhoon time.
Yeah.
That's in the sink.
Yeah, we're in the maid's room.
Yeah, that's right.
I saw that. How is Irene? Oh, God, it's scary.
Irene made it through fine.
So you went to Pancake House again?
Well, as a matter of fact, we just got this morning. You know, because there is no power, you don't want to cook in here because you raise the temperature here in the condo. Oh. When you cook. So we went to the Pancake House, and they had no power. Their generator was not working. And I saw the cook come out a couple of times, and there was so much sweat coming off his brow. The manager finally said, "That's it. When you're gone, we're closing." And so I got the last meal, as it were.
You're lucky. But anyway, you're safe there because it's Little America. I know the place now is really fantastic.
Right. Well, I would rather not identify exactly where we are.
But I know what you mean. But anyway, I'm glad that you're okay. Say hi to Irene. I know she's out there reading a paper.
I will do that. And you say hello to Tom for me. That was a young lady who did make a trip here recently to Manila and came to visit us here in the condo. So she knows exactly where we are. Wildcard line, you are on the air. Hello.
Yes, hello, Art. Your screener tells me I only got just a very brief time to tell you what I'm thinking.
Sure.
Okay. Uniform expansion of the universe is based on the observation that wherever you are in the universe, the farther out you look, the more redshifted stars are.
Say it again.
Wherever you are in the universe, I mean, suppose you were, wherever you are in the universe, the further out a star is, the more redshifted it is.
That's correct.
And therefore, they say, well, the universe is expanding. It's linear. It's expanding everywhere, no matter where you are. So the universe is expanding. But there's another theory, a possibility. Time is simply speeding up. If time were speeding up, then what would happen is a million years ago, and it's been speeding up all along because it's less problematic than what they got. They have to say, oh, there's dark matter. It's pushing the galaxies apart. There's multiple universes, multiverse. I've heard on your program before. But if time were simply speeding up, then you get the same redshifts anywhere you looked, anywhere in the universe.
Yeah, you know, that's a definite possibility, and scientists are astronomers are constantly revising what they previously thought, whether it's the expanding universe theory, or whether it's when the Big Bang actually occurred. I think they recently changed their view of that by about 2 billion years. So one doesn't really know. It could be time speeding up. These are areas that are at the very fringe of our knowledge. And so virtually anything is possible. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, how's it going, Art?
Yeah, just fine, sir, under the circumstances.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you made it. So I got a story here for you. I'll start from the beginning. My father and sister were deceased when I was 5. And, when I was 12, me and my mom were having a conversation about them for a couple of hours in depth. And then that night, it was stormy, and it was about 2 or 3 in the morning. And one of my sister's dolls started singing a song. You know, you pushed its wing and it sang a song. So I woke up my mom. I was a little scared. She came in and pulled that out of the closet and to take the batteries out. Well, there's no batteries, and it quit singing. And I just thought that was, you know, some sort of connection between the two worlds, perhaps, or, you know.
All right. I think that's entirely possible. Here's what I think. I think that, for example, if you're sitting in your living room, you spend 2 hours talking about a couple of people who are deceased from your family, that you form an intent that probably opens or may open some doors and make communication somewhat easier. I really think that a great deal of all of this has to do with intent. Now, that does not go to whether it's really communication from the other side, or it's something within your own brain, or it's some sort of mass consciousness, which, by the way, is going to be the topic next hour, or any of the rest of it. But I do think simply talking about it and thinking about it creates an intent that makes it entirely possible for that kind of communication to occur. Let's go to this wild card line and say, hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Art. I'm in Cliff in Houston, Texas.
Yes.
And I got a question for you. I have a very good friend of mine that lives in Mindanao.
Uh-huh.
How bad were they hit?
They really weren't. Mindanao got some heavy rains from it, but it is many miles by plane. It's about 1 hour.
Okay.
To the south of where I'm located. Mindanao is my wife's original home. She's from a place called Bukidnon.
Super. So, and if you would like, I have a super story that happened to me in 1973 about the Devil's Triangle.
Going to have to be pretty quick.
Okay. I was fishing in the Florida Keys. I was standing there on a place called Indian Rocks Bridge. I was in a boat about a half mile from shore. I heard another boat approaching from my left coming up behind me. Paid no attention to it. All of a sudden, the engine stopped. I turned around to look at the boat. No boat. There was foam from the propeller wash in the water. Boat was gone. That is a true, true story.
Well, it is a strange, strange world, and I certainly don't have explanations for all of it, but if you, and that's what we're doing here, is opening doors, opening a few doors, allowing all of you to tell these kinds of stories, and who knows, perhaps even doing a radio program like this opens doors that otherwise would not be open, which accounts for why a lot occurs during this show. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
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 Art?
That's me.
Well, this is someone from Mississippi.
Okay.
And I wanted to tell you what happened to us. I'm sorry you were in that typhoon. I have never been in a typhoon, but I've been through many hurricanes. But this last storm, Katrina,
mm-hmm.
We stayed home. The roof blew off to begin with. The ceiling fell in on me, so I went to another room and got in the bed. And all of a sudden, water was over the bed, top of the bed.
Oh, my God.
And we looked at the stars for 4 nights before we could get the roof on. But I'm telling you, I've never seen a storm like that.
I hear what you're saying. Bad as what we had here was, and it was bad. Obviously, what occurred to you was far worse. But I was worried about windows. And in reality, a lot of windows, you can look out my window right now and see all the blown-out windows and the ones that are detached and took a big, long fall to the street. I mean, it was pretty serious stuff. It was scary. Nothing to compare to what, of course, you went through with Katrina. Coming to you from the somewhat battered but still present Manila in the Philippines, I'm Art Bell.